Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026. There is plenty of town council and board meeting news in today's paper, but we're going to begin on the front page with the final chapter, we hope, in an article we've been following for a while. Sex offender probation for retired high school teacher. Victim impact statement read before term imposed. Pontiac. As expected, retired Paxton Buckley Loda High School teacher Paul L. Muser was sentenced to 30 months of sex offender probation Monday following his guilty plea in May to felony charges of grooming and indecent solicitation of a child. Judge Mary Cole imposed the sentence on Muser, 72, of Buckley, as recommended in a fully negotiated plea agreement. Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian and said Muser's teenage victim was consulted about the proposed sentence and agreed to the sentence as set forth. In accepting the sentence, as recommended by both Killian and Muser's attorney, Lance Cagle, Cole called the sentence reasonable and appropriate, especially since the findings of a sex offender risk assessment, in addition to the victim herself, supported a community-based sentence. In addition to being placed on sex offender probation through January 20, 2029, Muser was ordered to pay court fines and fees totaling $4,314. Muser must also register as a sex offender for at least 10 years. Per the terms of his probation order, Muser is prohibited from communicating or living with any child, attending any events where children are expected to be present, being at or around schoolyards, parks, playgrounds, arcades, or any other places primarily used by children, possessing any sexual materials or patronizing any place where such materials are available, and making contact with the victim or living within 500 feet of the victim or her immediate family. Muser must also allow probation officers to forensically examine his computer, phone, and electronic devices and access his social media accounts to look for any evidence of sexual material or attempted contacts with children. Muser is also subject to home visits by probation officers and random drug and alcohol testing. Before Cole imposed the sentence, Cagle noted the findings of Muser's sex offender risk evaluation, along with his lack of criminal history, while Killian read a statement on behalf of Muser's victims. According to charging documents filed in court, Muser, a former driver's ed and physical education teacher at PBL High School, invited the female teenager to his home last Christmas Eve, intending to commit a sexual act with the teen. Also, over the course of nearly a year, between January 25 and December 24, 2025, Muser allegedly offered the teen snacks and money, discussed things of a sexual nature, including his desire to perform acts of sexual penetration with the child, and exchanged emails with her outside of school. Before this situation occurred, I already struggled with understanding healthy boundaries because of the treatment I experienced from adults throughout my life, the victim said in her statement to the court. As some of you know, my background consisted of being exploited by many adults who were meant to protect me. This deeply affected the way I viewed love, attention, and safety. I want everyone to know that when I entered this situation, I was a vulnerable child looking for care and guidance from an adult I thought I could trust. I was desperate to be seen and listened to. When Paul gave me that safe space I was never given, I felt like I could share the most vulnerable and painful parts of my life with him. And when I did, those conversations slowly stopped feeling like healthy support from a trusted adult and started becoming emotionally blurred. The more vulnerable I became with him, The more he positioned himself as the person who understood me better than anyone else. Because of the treatment I grew up with, I mistook that emotional intensity for safety and care. And that is why I am not a perfect victim, because once I started to recognize the sexual aspects of his behavior, part of me became emotionally invested too. It made me uncomfortable, but at the same time, it also felt validating to be wanted and needed by someone I trusted. That is difficult for me to admit, but I believe it's important because people expect victims to either be completely unaware or completely unwilling the entire time. But grooming does not always work that way. Just because my story looks different than others, that doesn't mean I'm not a victim. I was not capable of consenting to or fully understand the dynamic of mine and Paul's relationship. I was a child trying to understand relationships through the lens of trauma. He is an adult who fully understood the position of power and influence he had over me. A big part of who I am now has been shaped not only by what happened to me, but by learning who I no longer want to be because of it. As I've grown and matured, I've started to understand the situation in ways I could not fully understand at the time it was happening. I can now recognize the manipulation, and I can confidently say that what happened was not okay. Not because someone told me it wasn't, but because I truthfully understand what I deserved. This journey has been painful, but it has also been an important part of the rebuilding of myself and continuing to stay strong. Muser was placed on administrative leave from his job at PBL High School in March, only to resign days later. Muser, a 2024 PBL Alumni Hall of Fame inductee, a 1972 Paxton High School graduate, was a Hall of Fame head boys basketball coach and teacher in Oklahoma before he returned to Paxton a few years ago. Muser, who was arrested and charged shortly after his resignation, pleaded guilty on May 6 to charges of grooming, a Class 4 felony, and indecent solicitation of a child, a Class 3 felony. In exchange, Killian agreed to dismiss two Class 2 felony accounts of attempted criminal sexual assault. Ahead of sentencing, Muser remained free from custody on home confinement via a pretrial release order entered in May. He was permitted to reside through his sentencing Monday at the Paxton Inn on West Ottawa Road, instead of at the Paxton home of his sister, as previously ordered. After imposing the sentence Monday, Cole ordered that Muser's ankle monitor be removed. The July 20th sentencing hearing was held remotely via the Zoom app from Cole's Livingston County courtroom in Pontiac. Cole was assigned the case after it was filed in Ford County Circuit Court. Among those in attendance as observers at Monday's hearing were Muser's adult son and daughter. Now we get on to the chickens. Rules for backyard chickens to see further review. Planning and Zoning Commission to take look at regulations. Paxton. A set of proposed ordinance changes to allow Paxton residents to keep backyard chickens is heading to the city's Planning and Zoning Commission. The City Council voted unanimously during its monthly meeting on Tuesday, July 14th, to advance the proposed rules, which earlier were reviewed by the Council's License, Permit, Zoning, Insurance Committees with City Attorney Tony Schuring. The 8-member commission, chaired by Brian Braymeyer, will schedule a public hearing to further review the document and make a recommendation to the Council on whether to approve the rules as proposed, approve them with suggested changes, or deny them entirely. A hearing date has not yet been set. Just as she did during an earlier committee meeting, Alderman Kristen Larson, a proponent of backyard chickens, said she disagrees with one particular proposed requirement, that a special use permit be obtained to keep urban chickens. It's an obstructionist approach, Larson said. Former Alderman Paul Critcher voiced a similar opinion, calling the special use permit process cumbersome, not to just residents who want backyard chickens, but city officials who would be required to hold a public hearing, publish a public notice at the local newspaper, and mail notices to neighboring landowners within 250 feet for every permit application received. City Controller Treasurer Tammy Jensen told Alderman the week prior that it would require hours of work every time. It would just be a shame to see the council would stumble into a failure mode by not taking action to eliminate some of the more cumbersome aspects of the proposed regulations, Crutcher told the council. Both Larson and Crutcher advocated for the draft rules to be changed to instead make the keeping of backyard chickens a permitted use of land requiring no special use permit. If we're defining what animals are legitimate to house on a property, I think you could easily consider a backyard hen as a domesticated animal and treat it similar to a dog or a cat or any other domesticated pet, Crutcher said. During the committee meeting a week earlier, Schering suggested a special use permit be required, in addition to a building permit, for each chicken coop and run, because keeping of backyard chickens would alter the use of residential land to an agricultural use. Alderman Rob Pacey said he agreed with Schering's reasoning. As I mentioned at the committee meeting, to some extent, we are bound by having a zoning code, Pacey said. We have a zoning code because it enforces how properties are used. The status quo, as it were, prohibits the use of certain property for housing animals that, I guess, we could classify as agricultural or non-domestic. Pacey said exceptions can be made, of course, but only with a special use permit or variance. If I wanted to have a home-based business, I'd have to have a special use permit or a variance, Pacey noted. If I'm using property in a way that's beyond the bounds of R1, R2, R3, any of our zoning classifications in that process, I have to go through. In my mind, that's the process we have to follow. I don't feel that a special use permit requirement is particularly cumbersome. I think it's just part of the process. In response, Larson said, I wouldn't compare keeping chickens to a home-based business because nothing is being sold. There's no economic benefit to the owner. Crutcher, meanwhile, pointed out that when the subject of urban chickens first arose several years ago, some of the same council members, now advocating for a special use process, had indicated they were concerned that such a process would be inequitable, allowing some, but likely not all, residents to have hens. To circle back around to require a special use permit, after all this effort, Crutcher said, it would be a shame to be right back at square one after all this effort. Schering stressed that further changes can still be made. If this process, procedure, set of regulations, whatever you want to call it, is seen as not being the right fit for the community, Schering said, there are still plenty of steps here where a better fit can be reached. Schering said the next step is to get input from the Planning and Zoning Commission. But the decision on what to include in the ordinance ultimately rests with the 8-member council. If the Planning and Zoning Commission decides this doesn't need to be a special use, this needs to be a permitted use, they can make that recommendation to the city council, Schering told Alderman. If the recommendation from Planning and Zoning to the city council is that they think it should be a special use, you can approve their recommendation in part and reject it in part, and the part you reject could be the special use. If there are certain provisions within the regulations themselves, same thing. You can basically reject any part of the recommendation that you want and accept any part of the recommendation that you want. As part of the commission's work, Alderman Joe Reinhart asked Braemeyer, the panel's chairman, to research the regulations for backyard chickens in other Illinois communities. Braemeyer agreed. As proposed, Paxton's ordinance would allow for the keeping of up to four hens in the rear yards of residential properties with an R2 or R3 zoning classification. Chicken coops and runs would be required to be at least 20 feet from neighboring homes. The proposed ordinance was spurred by the results of an advisory referendum on the March 17th primary election ballot that saw local residents vote in favor, albeit by a slim 9-vote margin of 335 to 326, which is 50.68% to 49.32%, of relaxing the city's long-standing rules that have made the keeping of urban chickens impossible on most residential properties. While numerous nearby communities already allow backyard chickens, they can currently be only kept in Paxton if they are at least 150 feet from any home, church, school, or public way, according to city code. Besides Larson, Pacey, and Reinhart, aldermen present for the July 14th council meeting were Eric Evans, Dean Gyken, Matt Greenberg, and Mike Wilson. Alderman Justin Withers was absent. It was not business as usual at the Elliott Village Board meeting. Skipping pledge at meeting brings reactions. Trustee leading meeting in president's absence gets into shouting match with ex-clerk. Elliott. A disagreement over one agenda item derailed most agenda progress for the better part of 30 minutes at last week's Elliott Village Board meeting. In the absence of Village President Josh Rowley, Trustee Jack Hubbard chaired the regular July 14th meeting. Hubbard chose to skip the second item on the agenda, namely the traditional reciting of the U.S. Pledge of Allegiance. In his regular trustee role, Hubbard rises for each meeting's call to recite the pledge, but he does not say the words. As president pro tem, however, Hubbard chose unilaterally to strike it from the agenda. Skipping the pledge appeared to surprise several, but it brought an immediate strong reaction from former village clerk Gloria Lynch, who objected to the admission on principle and further maintained that no item published on the agenda could be skipped. Hubbard told her it was not an agenda item required by statute at public meetings in Illinois. Disagreement quickly became a shouting match between Hubbard and Lynch that resulted in Hubbard taking out his cell phone to call the Ford County Sheriff's Office to dispatch a sheriff's deputy to the meeting, naming Lynch as an unruly visitor he wanted removed from the meeting. "What are you doing here?" Hubbard asked Lynch, even though she has been regularly attending village board meetings since resigning her clerk's position in September of 2025. "I resigned because you people are nasty," she responded. Hubbard next made the following statements. "This doesn't happen on my watch. You're not going to disrupt my meeting," referring to have the pledge appear pro forma on each meeting's agenda as it has been. He blamed former village president Russell Ellers for starting, quote, "starting this crap." Current village clerk Miranda Kaufman was next to verbalize an objection to skipping the pledge, saying she was refusing to continue taking the meeting minutes. As she rose from her desk to leave the meeting, she asked her husband, Trustee Josh Kaufman, if he wanted to join her. He said nothing and remained seated. While waiting for the deputy to appear, Lynch continued to try to gain support for her position by asking, "Aren't we all Americans?" Hubbard, who was visibly irritated, quickly responded with his own question. "What does this have to do with anything?" He then shouted his own answer, "Nothing, nothing." Lynch left the meeting of her own accord around 7:10 p.m., around the time a return phone call promised Hubbard that a deputy was en route. The deputy would could be seen speaking with Lynch on the sidewalk in front of the village hall before entering the meeting around 7:25 p.m. The deputy explained that although Lynch's actions were not criminal, he talked with her about avoiding the need for an intervention in the future. Hubbard nodded and thanked the deputy for coming. While waiting for the deputy to appear, village employee Rick Bowen volunteered to take the meeting notes, and Hubbard okayed his offer. Progress was made with some short agenda items during the wait time. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, July 22nd. Leslie D. Les Freed, Loda. Leslie D. Les Freed, 93, of rural Loda, died at 8:49 a.m. Thursday, July 16th, at his home. A celebration of his life will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Sunday, August 2nd, at the Cadillac in Paxton. Military honors will be accorded by the Loda American Legion Post 503. Memorials may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital or the Loda American Legion Post 503. Addie Lee Griffith, Venice, Florida. Addie Lee Griffith, 75, of Venice, Florida, formerly of Paxton, died Monday, July 13th. There are no services planned at this time. She will be laid to rest privately at Glen Cemetery in Paxton. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the St. Francis Animal Rescue of Venice in Venice, Florida, or to Tidewell Hospice of Southwest Florida in Sarasota, Florida. Michael O. Hancock, Melvin. Michael O. Hancock, 76, of Melvin, Champaign and Fort Worth, Texas, died Friday, July 10th, in Texas. Celebration of life service was held Wednesday, July 22nd, at the Carmody Lynn Funeral Home in Bloomington. Interment occurred after the service with military honors at East Lawn Memorial Garden Cemetery in Bloomington. In lieu of flowers, family requests the donation be made in Mike's memory to the American Heart Association or the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, organizations that were close to his heart. Lisa B. Helgeson, Gibson City. Lisa B. Helgeson, 67, of Gibson City, died Friday, July 17th. She was laid to rest Tuesday, July 21st, at Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Information on a memorial celebration of her life will be available at a later date. In lieu of flowers, people are asked to donate to the Grand Prairie Friends of Urbana to support conservation efforts in East Central Illinois. Dale W. Chemnitz, Piper City. Dale W. Chemnitz, 70, of Piper City, died Monday, July 13th at his residence following a private battle with pancreatic cancer. Honoring his wishes, the family will have a private burial at a later date. Memorials may be given to Transitions Hospice Care. Lawrence M. Lyons, Onarga. Lawrence M. Larry Lyons, 81, of Onarga, died Friday, July 10th at Arcadia Care of Watsika. A funeral service was held Thursday, July 16th at the Knapp Funeral Home in Onarga with the Reverend Michael Ruhlig officiating. Burial followed at the Onarga Cemetery with graveside military rites by the Onarga American Legion Post 551. Memorials may be made to Uplifted Care in Bourbonnais or Arcadia Care of Watsika. Now we'll return to the news with another story from the Paxton City Council meeting. Paxton Alderman sweat out meeting, but air conditioning now fixed. It was hot inside City Hall for last week's monthly City Council meeting. Paxton. Things got heated, as in really hot, during the Paxton City Council's monthly meeting on Tuesday, July 14th. With no working air conditioning, those in attendance endured sweltering conditions inside the council chambers on City Hall's second floor over the course of 1.5 hours. Sweat beaded on the brow of Mike Livermore, a senior client advisor for the Clark Dietz engineering firm in Champaign, as he unhooked the top couple of buttons on his shirt in an effort to cool down. Alderman Dean Gyken got creative, folding a piece of paper into a makeshift fan. Alderman Kristen Larson did the same. At one point, one of the several Mr. Patels in attendance, all investors in a gas station and fast food restaurant being built on the city's west side, left the meeting and went to the Casey store just across Market Street, returning with a bag full of bottled water. He graciously handed them out to several people, this reporter included. Despite the heat, people kept their cool and humor throughout. Next month, I think we need to put on the meeting agenda to put ceiling fans in here, Alderman Eric Evans, the chairman of the Council City Property Committee, said to laughs. In an effort to save money, we keep the air conditioning turned down during the week, Controller-Treasurer Tammy Jensen joked moments later. When we get solar panels, Evan replied, then we can afford it. The jokes followed a much more serious and lengthy discussion about a community solar project proposed on 45 acres of to be annexed farmland along Baltimore Drive, a project that could bring in $37,000 in tax revenue a year to the city. By the meeting's end, Mayor Bill Ingold had conceded, "It's just too hot in here to think right now." At both the meeting's start and end, Ingold apologized for the heat. "We will do better," Ingold pledged to attendees as the meeting was adjourned. The next meeting, City Hall's air conditioning system was promptly fixed by Paxton-based Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, Ingold said. "Everything is now working perfectly." And to end today, from the Paxton Park District Board of Commissioners, pig falls out of trailer in Paxton. Park District's new director helps lead pig out of traffic. During the Paxton Park District Board of Commissioners monthly meeting on Tuesday, July 14th, Recreation Director Jillian Littleton told a story about saving a pig's life earlier that day. While she was driving, Littleton said she noticed a pig sticking out of the side of a livestock semi-trailer at the four-way stop on Patton and Market Streets downtown. She attempted to get the truck driver's attention, but before she could, the pig fell out of the trailer and landed in front of her vehicle. After stopping in time to avoid hitting the pig, Littleton exited her vehicle before helping to lead the pig out of traffic and contacting authorities for assistance. "It definitely wasn't how I was expecting my day to go, but I'm happy to say the pig was kept safe until help arrived," Littleton said. "It's not every day the park district director ends up directing pig traffic instead of park programs." The 300-pound pig was reunited with its owner that same day, according to Paxton Police. "Big thanks to our city workers who were able to help load the pig up and reunite it with its owner," Paxton Police said in a Facebook post. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.